mum's the word. But we're telling everyone. It's BOGO 50% off time at Designer Shoe Warehouse. Just in time for Mother's Day, buy any pair of shoes, get a second qualifying pair 50% off. Treat mom or yourself to the perfect spring styles from must-own brands. And hurry. Unlike a mother's love, this deal won't last forever. So make mom proud and score BOGO 50% off at your DSW store or DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Hey, this is MSR from San Ramon, and you are listening to Joe Shasky and... I already forgot.
Spadoni
on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, heck yes.
You like that? You like that?
I do like that. You know what else I like? Me? Garlic Fries and Baseball, guys. You're a part of it. Sam Lubman, Joe Shasky, and occasionally Steven Rizzotto have the best Giants talk in the world. The Giants got their first taste of NL West action this week, and it didn't go well. Got swept in a two-game set against the Padres. That's okay. Time to get fat and happy against the Colorado Rockies starting today. And they're going to talk about it all. Make sure you are subscribed to that wherever you get your podcasts, Garlic Fries and Baseball. Guys, Joe, it was great talking to the mayor, Daniel Lurie of San Francisco, last segment. And we're talking about this Warriors bench thing. You know, they cut into the lead. They cut it to 13. The Kevin Knoxes, the Moses Moody's, the Gui Santoses, all of them. Pat Spencer obviously getting involved, getting ejected after a headbutt on Sengun. What did you make of it? If for those of you who missed it, what did you make of them cutting into the lead? And can you take anything from that? And is there anything tangible from said comeback, quote unquote, going into game six?
I mean, I don't know about what's tangible in terms of carryover. Like, is it nice to see Moses Moody like hit a couple buckets? Yeah, hell yeah. Like, huge. Was it nice to see TJD like get into the mix and get into someone's face? Yeah, I absolutely love that. Pat Spencer, I just like Pat Spencer. So like, I root for him. You know, getting the starters for the Rockets back out onto the floor. I mean, we'll see. I don't know. There are a lot of younger guys, so I don't know if that, I don't know if that does anything or not. Or maybe it does. I don't know. But I don't know if it necessarily is going to lock them in even tighter for what they're going to need come first quarter of game six at 6 o'clock when the ball's tipped off. It's a nice element. I'm glad that you didn't just mail it in and lose by 70. You know, that I don't want to see that. The guys did what they were supposed to do. And so on that level, I'm happy for them.
Let's go to Joe in Alameda. He's been hanging on tight. He was hanging on through that interview. We appreciate it. Joe wants to talk about that bench comeback and potentially it carrying over, whether that's through morale or somewhere else. Joe, good morning. What you got, man?
What's up, guys? Spadoni, Shasky. Now, look, guys, I want to talk about this one thing here, okay? Energy cannot be destroyed, right? It can be damaged or whatever, but it moves on forever and ever. And I'll bring it in into a relatable sense with professionals and non-professionals. So say, for instance, like Shasky, I've been listening to you since Puff Puff Pass, man. And the energy that you used to bring on the late nights when I was working, okay, has led me to listen to you forever, okay? So I'm a big fan.
Appreciate that.
We'll continue to be one, okay? So let's bring it back to the professionals and actually in sport, right? We're all humans. We thrive off of energy. I mean, heck, if my lady says, hey, babe, you're out there. You're doing a great job. You know, keep it going. She's putting a battery in my back. I'm going to feel that. You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing our mothers used to do to us when we were little. Hey, little Joe, you know, I know you might have got a hit in the face with a baseball off a grounder, but hey, get up there and keep on going. You know what I'm saying? So I think that encouragement and energy can be drawn from previous days, previous games, previous engagements, you know what I'm saying? It happens in various different situations where that energy carries over. So I don't want us to discount energy. You know, if these pros, if Jimmy's out there saying, hey, I was encouraged by this person, I think that it does have a tendency to carry over, even if, you know, we kind of forget about it in the heat of the moment. Yeah, it's a new game. Yeah, it's a new shot. It's a new clock. All of that, right? But I think that underlying, you know what I'm saying, that energy definitely transfers and definitely carries over. And so I'm glad that, Shasky, I kind of hear that you dialed it back a little bit after you talked to the mayor. So you know what I'm saying. I'm with you guys. Love y'all. Keep it rocking.
There you go. That's Joe and Alameda. I appreciated Joe and Alameda's energy. That was some good energy there. And by the way, he said that energy cannot be destroyed, nor can it be created. When people use energy, it doesn't disappear, but instead it changes from one form of energy into another. Huh. Shout out science. There you go. Here's what Steve Kerr had to say about the bench group. He thought they set a tone.
Loved our bench group. They came in, they forced Houston to bring their starters back in. They set a tone that we're going to need for game six. And I thought, even though we lost the game, I thought it was crucial that we fought the way we did in the fourth quarter.
Here's how Jimmy Butler felt about the bench unit.
Inspiring, you know, to get us back in the game, give us, them a chance at something special. Kudos to those guys for staying ready, for fighting, for not giving up, you know, always staying ready. Because you never know when your number's going to be called, and it was tonight, and they played their asses off.
Draymond.
That was huge. Just them coming in, playing the way they played, forced their starters to have to get back in the game. Gave us a run at it. Had it down 11 with multiple times to get it under 10. Just didn't work out, but I thought our bench did an incredible job of coming in and continuing the fight and making their presence felt in this series.
And finally, how did the chef feel about it?
They took the challenge on the games going the opposite way, and we tried to encourage them at that, like, 6-minute mark in the third, just, you know, go out there, compete. What they did, they made their starters come back in, which is, you know, was something. And, you know, they brought a level of energy and competitiveness that was kind of remarkable, to be honest, like, to sustain that for that long. So, you know, they did an amazing job, and hopefully that'll kind of get us going in the sense of good morale and good energy going into game six.
So what's funny to me is that, look, I expect those guys to say that. You know, those are all their teammates. But anybody who's clutching for that and thinking there's going to be some carryover, let's not forget we were all celebrating the famous Kevin Durant quote. Yeah, all that great team chemistry and feel good. How's that gonna help you when you're guarding blank blank Stephen Curry?
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Right. Exactly. It's a great point. It's, you know,
I mean, it's literally what we were celebrating.
What are they going to say, though? You said, no, like, I know. What are they going to say after the game? Like, oh, I hated the effort. And then, like, no, they loved the effort.
Put yourself into the minds of Steph Curry, right? Sure. Like, so you fly home late last night, I'm assuming. You get home, you sleep in a little. Maybe he's waking up early. He's got, what, four kids? Four or five?
Four.
Yeah, four kids. Okay, he wakes up. The house is probably insanity. Yes, he's getting ready for everybody getting ready for school, and the little guy probably doesn't have to go to school yet. And then, like, you're now in dad mode.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably doing some sort of rehab today of some sort. And then you go through your normal day, your family day. And I don't know if they're going to go to the facility day or just take the day off completely. But I'm sure, knowing Curry, he's studying the film and the X's and O's of what he needs to do to be better, and assessing. And then whatever the install might be for some of their subtle changes in this next game. And then he's going to sleep after multiple meals. And then he's going to wake up again. It's a long time, right? And so it's one thing to have something happen in a game and it inspires you in the moment. It's another thing to draw back from something for multiple days later. And I kind of draw the line. And I don't think that, just my personal opinion, I don't think that someone as great as Steph Curry needs more inspiration other than the personal one that he puts on himself. The pride that he has within himself to always try to perform at his most optimal. That's why he is who he is.
Fernando wants to join in the conversation. I think that was well said. Fernando in San Jose, he liked how the bench played. Fernando, good morning.
What's up, Spadoni and Shasky? What's happening?
What's up? Feeling great.
I just want to comment on the bench. They came off, they got down. They cut the lead to 10, 13, whatever it was. And Houston got scared. They brought their starters back in. And that fool, Segun, he only went after Spencer because he's bigger than him. Otherwise, why don't they do that to Draymond or Butler or, you know, somebody that's, you know. But, yeah, he just tried to punk him, and Jackson didn't like that, you know what I mean? But, yeah, he got what he deserved, you know. He's soft.
All right, fair enough. He was a rebound and assist shy of a triple-double yesterday. Looked anything but soft.
Tough.
He's a pretty tough player. Like again, you could hate him. You could be mad at him. That's fine. Like there's a chippiness and a feistiness to this series that I didn't envision at the start.
Me neither.
And we got it. And I love it. I love every single part of it. I love that Pat Spencer got into it and got ejected. I love the Draymond Green aspect. I love Dylan Brooks being a villain. Like, this is fun. This is why we like playoff basketball. I don't want lovey-dovey, give me a hug at the half court when my team's losing to you kind of a stuff. You know, LeBron and Anthony Edwards, you know, like being best friends at like middle of the court, like laughing during like tough playoff minutes. No, I don't want that. I want this hatred. Good old-fashioned sports hatred. It's good in your life.
No, I'm with you on that. Did you see once the melee happened? Did you see who the first person for the Rockets was to come over from the other side? Because it was closer to the Warrior bench.
Who was it?
It was Ime.
Oh, it's your boy. Hey, it's good leadership.
And then leadership. Not only did he grab said player, Şengün, he was steering him past TJD, and he was in between the two, and he gave TJD like a shoulder ever so slightly just to let him know he was there while also saying some stuff to him that I tried to read the lips of. I watched it back 4 or 5 times. I'm not sure exactly what he said.
Gotta get John Boy.
But he said something.
Gotta get John Boy on the lip reading. But it's funny you bring that up. I also bring up.
It was funny. I laughed.
The chippiness early on. Amen Thompson screaming in the face of, who was it? Was
oh,
it
he taunted.
Was it Draymond Steph? It was someone.
Was that more of a taunt than the two from Steph?
Absolutely, it was a taunt. So much so that Fred VanVleet was like, "Dude, what do you do?" Like, he grabbed him and like pulled him away. He's like, "Dude, I don't need a tech right now from you. Like, let's stop this." And he pulled him away. Absolutely, that was a tech, and I'm shocked they didn't call it. It was an and one play. I was like, "Dude, like it was." But again, that showed early on in that game, like the desperation level was there, and they were there for it.
This has been a fun series.
It's been great.
You know, there's a whole slew of guys that now a lot of younger and older Warrior fans despise. Şengün's on that list.
Yep.
You know, Fred VanVleet, he was already there. And then obviously Dylan Brooks was already there. And now you can add in Amen Thompson. Yep. But I also think with Thompson, because he's a local guy, there is a little bit of an appreciation as well to him that maybe most people aren't going to give to Şengün.
Sam is in Sunnyvale, wants to talk about it. 888-957-9570. Sam, good morning. What you got, man?
Hey, good morning. So on one hand, you guys are saying that the performance of the bench can't help the morale of the starters, right? And then you play a montage of like all the starters saying like, this is great. And wow, you know, they just need to say that, blah, blah, blah.
Real quick, Sam, and I don't think it's going to have, real quick, I'll let you finish. I don't think it's going to have a tangible effect one way or another on tomorrow's outcome of the game. Continue.
Okay. So on the other hand, you say like, hey, fans need to show up. They need to bring a lot of energy. They need to really, pump up the starters. So like, which one is it?
No, it's not pump up the starters. I need the fans to be loud so that the opposing team will feel it and those young guys will feel it.
I always say fans are loud when the players play well. I went to that Kings game where the Kings just destroyed the playoff game six, whatever it was.
It was game six, yeah.
A couple years back, and the fans were ready to pop off. And the Warriors threw a dud of a first quarter out there, and there was nothing to cheer for. We tried, trust me. And everyone's like, Jay Center sucks. Like, well, if the guys don't go out there and execute and don't give you much to cheer for, there's only so much a fan can do.
Absolutely. And we're talking about the aspect of fourth quarter, a quote unquote, like mini run, mini comeback. They cut it to 13 points. It's hard to call it like a comeback, but they went on a little bit of a run and they got chippy at the end. And like the guys appreciated the fight and that's why we're playing it. And some people feel like that's going to have an effect on game six. I think Joe and I are in lockstep saying, we don't really see it, but that's okay if you do. We're not poo-pooing and how you feel about it. I just know if the Rockets blitz you for 40 points in the first quarter again, clearly that meant nothing. Like, right? Like, so that could happen again tomorrow, and it better not happen tomorrow. And that's why I think I want fans to show up early. Again, 6 o'clock tip right here. 95.7 game, we'll have that coverage, but at Shea Center, get there early so you can fill out that thing and make your presence known early on in the game. And yeah, I do think that'll give some juice to the Warriors. And hell, maybe it'll have the Rockets being tight a little bit earlier. Maybe. It might not.
We've watched, 15 years of Steph Curry?
Long time. Yeah, 17.
I've seen every game of his entire career. About every dribble. 15 years. Live. I've never thought that he needed inspiration from anyone other than himself. You know, and that's just how I view it. Maybe some of the other guys need inspiration here and there and whatever, but I don't think for Steph, like Steph, that's why he's one of the greats. The Jerry Rices, the Bonzes, pick who you want. Right. As you see Verlander as an older guy, like they have this self pride within them. That's what's driven them to be where they're at.
Right.
Doesn't mean that they don't draw from others.
No.
And add to their cauldron, but like all of the original fire from within is from themselves.
Absolutely. You have to motivate yourself first and foremost. And if you're not motivated in the playoffs, you're never going to get motivated. If you're in a playoff game, like that's all the motivation you would ever need.
He literally said that to the other teammates.
Yes.
A couple years ago, game seven.
Yeah. Game seven against the Kings, or it's like
the game after I just referenced.
Exactly. Where he dropped 50 and put a night on the Sacramento Kings organization, and they have not recovered since, albeit they knocked you out in the play-in game last year, but that feels like the high water mark for them at this point. But hey, they got Doug Christie locked up for a couple years. Good for them. Stephen Curry talking about another series that took place back in the 2022 championship run, where the Memphis Grizzlies in game five took it to the Warriors. 134-95 was the final then. So the Memphis was able to extend that series and force a game six back at Chase Center. Steph, did that game five against Houston remind you of that Memphis game at all?
Yeah, there's definitely something you could look back on part of the journey, but that's all well and great to talk about. You have to go do something about it on the court. And, we talked about our group is trying to do this for the first time together. And I love that challenge because, we have an opportunity to, write our own story and how we bounce back. And we've had a pretty, resilient group over the last 2 months, and it has to show on Friday.
All right, you just thought about it. Again, how's that going to help you today or tomorrow, I should say? Probably not.
Well, the one constant is Dylan Brooks.
Dylan Brooks, he's there.
And I believe in that game six, he hit either one or two shots early, and we all thought the same thing. Yes!
Now, that Dylan Brooks
was a different version.
This is like the best version I think we've seen in the NBA of Dylan Brooks.
I don't want to admit this out loud because the guy does drive me nuts.
I don't like Dylan Brooks.
I think he's been their second best player, if not their best player, throughout the whole series.
If you're talking about two-way player, absolutely.
He's been awesome.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. Probably I'd say there's consistency for him has been there from game one all the way through
and
now.
His offense has been sustainable every single game.
He's hitting some tough shots, too. Middies, the mid-range.
Fadeaways. Yep. He hit a couple threes. Yep. Yeah, he's been awesome. And I think that he understands what a good shot is in their system, and he doesn't turn the ball over.
And he got to the line yesterday, 8 of 8 from the free throw line for Dylan the Villain Brooks. All right.
What a name.
Flipping the page, if you will. Jimmy Butler, he was doing that already.
We're fine. Our confidence isn't going to waver any. We're going to start out better. We're going to play a better overall game because we know how good of a team we are as a unit. We know how good our players are as individuals. So we just got to, as starters, we got to kick us off better, which we know that we will do. We'll be fine.
We'll be fine, Joe. Does that give you some confidence to listen to Jimmy Butler say that? Or is that just, you know...
Well, he's been right before, so...
He was?
I'm not, because he did that to us earlier.
After the Clippers game, yeah. He said, I'm going to go get some coffee, you know, play some dominoes, and we'll be good.
Playoff Jimmy was not activated yesterday.
No, he was not. That was not a good performance. Actually, it was playoff Jimmy, because playoffs... Like, Jimmy's had some stinkers in the playoffs, too. But again, the Miami Heat have had performances like that, where it's just like, all right, we don't have it. Let's not overuse our starters. We'll take the L. We'll try our luck next game, right? And that was Steve Kerr basically waving the white flag about halfway through that third quarter and saying, all right, we don't have it. It is what it is. We're not going back to you guys. And Jimmy Butler finished the night with 25 minutes, Steph with 23, Jaren with 18.
It was probably the best move given the circumstances.
Right? And by the way,
you got to win this game 6.
By the way, talking about the minute allocation, if that means anything to you, because the Houston Rockets have younger legs, so I don't know if it means a whole hell of a lot. Şengün, 31 minutes. Dylan Brooks, 29 minutes. Amen Thompson, 35 minutes. Van Vliet, 33. Anything there? No?
Well, Van Vliet's a little older.
He is.
Was he 31, 32?
I think something like that. Let me look it up. Freddie.
And then obviously Dylan Brooks is a little older, but the other two guys are 22. What?
31 for Freddie Van Vliet.
I mean, he's not a spring chicken, but he's definitely not at the end of his career. You know, Adams has logged a lot of minutes.
He does. Yeah.
He's a guy I wonder, but he doesn't like live off explosion. He's more like, you know, grounded in brute strength, but he got up multiple times in the game prior with some blocks at the rim. So I don't know. He's logged a lot of minutes for him.
17 yesterday, though, for Steve, and I think he's been pretty much 25 and under about that.
Yeah. But he's not young.
No, he's not. Not in, like, playoff. Like, when you're talking about Kevon Looney, age-wise, he's young.
Yes.
Playoff-wise, he's not exactly young at all. Yeah. He's got a lot of wear and tear.
There's a lot of rings in that tree trunk.
Yes, thank you. Here's more from Steph Curry after the game, because a big talking point has been, we even talked about it all show, it's been a thumb injury. And where's he at? Let's be honest, he's had two bad games in a row shooting-wise. It has not been good. I know they split the wins and losses there, so it's been 1-1 in the last two games, but Steph hasn't really been that guy that you could lean on offensively, and then the turnovers have been a problem for him. And he had a back and forth with our guy Anthony Slater after the game talking about the thumb and the picture of his thumb leaking on social and leaking everywhere, where it looked like there was this massive bowling ball on his hand. Here's that back and forth with Slater after the game about his thumb.
What's the state of your thumb right now?
Cold.
There was a picture, I don't know if you've seen it online, where it looks pretty swollen. I think it was with you walking to the plane.
I got the feds on me? What are you talking about?
No, the internet is the feds at this point.
I love this league so much. I love it so much.
How is your thumb? Besides cold because you're icing
it. I don't even know how to answer it. This is something you're dealing with, and you keep it moving as long as I can play. You got to rap for a reason, but that's it.
Thumbgate.
I mean, listen, you mentioned it earlier, and I agree. If he has a great game, the thumb's not a problem. If he has a bad game, this is the thumb. Like, and he's not going to use that as an excuse. He's just not. Like, that's why he's one of the best. That's why the greatest of the greats don't use those excuses. You might wait till after the series to say,
like his knee, year that he hurt his knee.
Well, I was going LeBron after the finals and they lost. We had the Cats. Well, that was ridiculous.
I mean, and then he stormed out in his short shorts.
He had the big Prada bag, too.
Yeah, he had the purse, the man purse.
He went full Karen, right?
He was ridiculous. How about him last night pretending like he broke his ankle and his knee?
Oh, did you see that Luka injury yesterday real quick? Oh, my God. Wait,
which one of the Luka injuries?
Well, no, his back, like, bent. Like, the one that legitimately looked like it was painful was when the back tilted and, like, his knees. It's like, oh, boy. And he came back with a wrap around his back.
I said that the Lakers were the matchup I wanted more than any other.
Well, we're gone.
What Chuck said at halftime. Oh, well, Luka will start rehabbing tomorrow.
He He was in his Prada bag, if you will, Chuck, yesterday. Wolves 103, Lakers 96, as they wrap up.
I'm surprised that, you know, with the game on the line, the season on the line, they didn't go to Bronny, highest paid second rounder of all time.
They didn't have any Dalton Connect minutes when they couldn't buy a 3-point shot, and the best one of the best three-point shooters, like on their team, just didn't even get a look. All right, it's fine if you want to do that. By the way, real quick, because we're talking about that game, and that's the Warriors were to win tomorrow. They'd be playing the Minnesota Timberwolves. You'd be going to Minnesota. They have to take care of business though tomorrow. And the Rockets are now looking at all of a sudden. It's like, hey, if we win tomorrow, we get game 7 at home, and then we're hosting the T-Wolves. So,
I don't even want to think about
No, you don't, but I'm going to talk about it because it was the other game that happened yesterday.
Yeah, they are scary. I think they present a ton of problems for either the Rockets or the Warriors.
Julius Randle's looked really good.
Like, he had huge rebounds, huge finish in the lane.
He's a big body. Like, yeah, he's been awesome. He's a load.
Mike Conley hitting a big corner three late.
Oh, he's so old, too. But Naz Reid, Warriors killer.
Gobert was the story for me.
I mean,
30 and 20.
He had 27 points and 24 rebounds.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
27 points and 24 rebounds. That guy, Rudy Gobert, who we all laugh at come playoff time, he's going to play off the court. Jackson Hayes was a DNP. They're only like big. They went like Rui Hachimura at the five. Like, I love you, Rui. Like 23 points, 9 to 16. It's not happening. The size was a problem yesterday, and we knew it was going to be a problem for the Lakers when they tried to acquire Mark Williams a couple months ago. And then the medical fell through. They couldn't agree to terms. They kept Dalton Connect. And the size was a problem this series. It was a bad matchup for them. It was a bad matchup. And they're lost. And now, where do the Lakers go from here? Like, LeBron, Luka? Like, we'll see. I don't know. I don't think those guys can work in tandem and be like a winning combination. Like, an Austin Reeves built into that. Reeves was kind of a no-show this series. He didn't step up when they needed him to step up. Maybe the ball should have been in his hands more. I don't know. But they got a lot of soul searching to do this offseason. That's for sure.
And so that LeBron was needs more Hall of Famers around him.
I don't think LeBron's the answer on that team. Well, that's Luka's team now.
Well, Luka needs to hit a treadmill.
Okay.
No. I mean, like, it's.
I don't think he was in shape. Like, he was
Hence why I say he needs to hit the treadmill.
I mean, he was hurt for a lot of the season. Like, I just don't think he was in shape. Great shape heading into this season. Heading into this postseason. And it is what it is. They lost.
But he needs to look, Anthony Davis had the same concerns about his body. When he first got traded there, I remember Colin Cowherd blasting him about his work ethic. And
which is kind of insane considering how good we saw Anthony Davis in the playoffs against the Warriors, right?
No, I'm talking about going back to the Laker days. When he first got traded,
okay,
he had, New Orleans was like, hey, you're always hurt because you're out of shape. And, that's what they were saying.
No, it's funny, just considering, like, that might be more on New Orleans, considering what I'm seeing from Zion Williamson. Like,
yeah, but players need to take accountability of their own career as well,
I think Anthony Davis had been pretty, like, in the gym, like, chiseled. Like, I had no question about his work ethic when it came to that. I just think he's injury prone, and that happens sometimes. Like, Zion, yeah, I got questions about his work ethic when it comes to staying in the gym and keeping off the pounds. Like, that's a legit thing. Anthony Davis, I don't know as much. But to your point, like, you made the big trade for it. I think the Lakers still do that 10 times out of 10 because you got the younger player.
Almost every team in the league does that. Yes.
Like, if you're Nico Harrison, though, today, and I heard Steiny and Goo talking about this.
What'd they say?
Are you taking any, like, victory lap? If you're like a tiny victory lap.
Yeah, to the bank when you get your like, severance package when you get fired.
Really? Just nothing's like, I was right about Luka? No. You're not using that as a, okay, all right. Just wanted to talk about it. It's an interesting thing. I don't know. Everyone's talking about the Luka trade being the business, this whole huge thing, and the Lakers are first round exit. They're gone. See you later. Bye bye.
But they weren't. They like again. Like, to me, it's about the next 10 years for them. With that, when you make that trade, it's not just about this year.
We have the sound. We cut it. Might as well play it, right? JJ Redick. Do you hear him before the game? Los Angeles Lakers head coach.
What condescending comment did he make to the media?
Let's hear it.
As you watch the film, what do you recall about your thought process in the moment, sticking with the five you stuck with in the fourth quarter the other day? And is there an assistant or someone maybe that you'll lean on tonight, maybe to try to get, some other guys involved if that opportunity presents itself?
Are you saying that because I'm inexperienced and that was an inexperienced decision that I made? You think I don't talk to my assistants about substitutions every single timeout?
No, I just think there's a lot of coaches lean on their assistants in those situations.
As do I. Every single time. That's a weird assumption.
And then he stormed off after that.
I'm being real with you. There are a lot of people covering sports that don't understand what it's like to play or coach sports. And I would suggest to all of them that are out there doing it, I'm not saying you have to be Red Auerbach, and I'm not saying, but like when you're sitting on a bench, whether it's third grade, high school, college, or the pros, when you're sitting there and you're, it's a helpless position to be in as a coach because the play is happening and you want to have control and you don't. You know what you're thinking the entire time? Should we go to this guy? Should we go to that guy? What are you thinking? Should we do this? Should we do that? You're constantly chattering with those on the bench. Maybe it's your one of your star players who you trust their IQ or their feel, to not understand that every head coach in the league is having these conversations. Like, it's kind of a bad question. Just my personal opinion. It's kind of a bad question.
I don't think it was the greatest look for JJ, but again, like that's kind of what I feel about JJ already. He's a Duke guy. Like I kind of feel
he doesn't
like,
suffer fools.
No, like he's just that's who he is. He's prickly and he's gonna be snarky, and that's who that's how he was on ESPN.
Oh, he's sensitive. Like I don't deny that.
I think he's feeling some type of way about someone, and Charles Barkley, I thought, had a good point. He's like, hey man, just own up. It was a bad call playing all your starters in game four.
I don't like
the entire second half.
I don't like JJ's response to what I thought was a poor question.
Okay.
That's the way I would describe it.
That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah, like, and I'm not even mad at the guy, like, because I listen to some of these questions and I'm like, I mean, come on, do we not know what's going on? Like, Joe, if you and I were coaching young Benny's first ever, you know, basketball game, first ever, we'd be sitting there and you'd be like, what do you think? Who do we go to next? Like, that would be like one of the first things immediately after tip off.
Right.
You're constantly like, well, what do we do? What do we do? And you're looking for either validation or someone to question what your next move is so that you could think about it. You're every single, even the worst coach, you know, has other people on their bench that they're going to be, you know, picking the brain of. That's why you have a staff.
I do appreciate, and it makes me appreciate even more. And again, JJ, he's a rookie head coach. I think he did a lot of good things this year. They were 50-32. They had home court. Timberwolves, quite frankly, just a better team. On paper, the matchup, they're better. But it makes me appreciate the Warriors head coach that much more in a situation like this. Like, I know in this series, Steve Kerr's beating this guy when it mattered most. Ime Udoka. Different team, different roster. Actually, that Celtics team was, in hindsight, is better than this Rockets team, obviously, given the scenario. So, like, I know, like, I'm leaning on my head coach when push comes to shove, more often than not, in any scenario, in any matchup against any other head coach in the association. Like, that makes me feel so good about tomorrow is the coaching aspect and the leadership on this team. That is something that is tangible I can lean on going forward.
They need to solve the zone defense equation that the Rockets have thrown at them. They need to find a way to free up Steph Curry, whether that's him as the primary ball handler or utilizing him more off ball. They need to find a way to get a first quarter unit out there that can play good enough defense while also score and get the offense flowing a little. They're going to need to defend without fouling. What does that look like? You know, who's on who? How do they slow down Şengün? Not just scoring. I'm talking about as a passer and a facilitator. They need to figure out how to get Fred VanVleet to dribble the ball more and not be a catch-and-shoot guy. They got to figure out how to cut the water off on Amen Thompson and his driving to the rim. Like, there are so many questions that I have on this one. So many.
You know what I don't question? Fast Five. I put out the bat signal, and I was disappointed. I did not get Jan in Mountain View. But you know what? Maybe she calls up tomorrow. She's fired up. Maybe she'll call Steiny Guru or Willard and Dibbs when they have Steve Kerr, the aforementioned Steve Kerr, on at 5 o'clock right here on 95.7 The Game. What's your final thought, Joe?
Well, you know, J.J. Redick, who you referenced, he's an interesting guy. I'm going to be, you know, honest, and I'm going to tell you how real basketball is. I would have just appreciated, me personally, and he'll never do this, if he would have just said to the reporter, I mean, we kind of just do what LeBron and I are thinking about doing.
Right.
Would anyone, like, honest to gosh, would anyone critique that if he just came out and said it? Like, Belichick, for example, when he had Brady, that's what Brady wanted to run. Like, man, I agreed with him, and we went with it. It didn't work. Like, who's arguing with that?
I mean,
LeBron basically is the assistant coach on that team, so.
No, but I know, why can't you just be, like, just be honest? Like, great example, Nolan Ryan. I watched the doc on Nolan. This is a different time, different era. Their pitching coach goes out. He's going to take out Nolan Ryan. Nolan Ryan's like, no, you're going to take me out for that guy? And he points to the bullpen. And then the coach goes, you know what? You're right. And he stayed in there. And then the reporter says, well, it looked like you were going to take him out. What were you thinking? well, it's Nolan Ryan. He told me that he wanted to stay in the game. So it's Nolan Ryan.
Yeah.
So I kept him in the game.
There you go.
Like, there are certain players that there's kind of no rebuttal.
Yeah, you can't take, you're not taking me out of this game, coach. I'm staying in there, right?
We can critique LeBron all we want. He has forgotten more about basketball than 99.9%.
One of the highest basketball IQs in the history of the sport.
That's what I'm saying.
Not even close.
Yes. And I'll critique him till I'm blue in the face. But if that's what he rolls with, there's a reason.
Absolutely. Rizzo.
God, it's great that they lost, though. Thank God.
I know. Would have, again, I mentioned it earlier. I'll get to you, Sexy. Sorry. It would have been better if you're a Warriors fan, had the Warriors won last night, because you could be wallowing in the misery of the Los Angeles Lakers and drinking all those tears up. But you lost, so it's like, well, we can't really talk right now because we got humbled a little bit.
And the Ant-Man's just sitting there waiting.
Waiting. Nas Reed, too. That's the guy that everyone...
Gobert.
Well, Gobert.
Well, and their coach is a good coach, too.
Finch?
I like Finch.
No, Chris
Finch. He called some very timely timeouts, I thought, yesterday. I like Finch. I like Finch.
They attempted 47 three-pointers yesterday and made 7 of them and won the game. Oh, man, that's got to hurt.
Absolutely incredible.
That's absolutely incredible. Steven, what you got?
Yeah, no, pretty rough night for the Warriors. And we spent a lot of the second half of the show talking about the bench. And I just want to say that you would have thought that they won this game or even came close to winning this game based on the way people were talking. And I do want to say that the bench did a great job. But what they did was they made this loss go from unbearable to a little less unbearable. So it was not like, you know, the second coming or anything of, you know, Pat Spencer did a good job. But what's the most that's going to come out of this? So I don't think that there's a ton of momentum, but I just think the effect is very, very little.
Your new nickname from the YouTube chat is Pasta.
Yes, that is what has been called by Dan Devone, Evan. There's a few people around here that call me pasta.
I didn't know that.
Risotto. This is type of pasta.
Well, let me do rice. My Dan Devone. I mean, Steven, I'm going to call you Pasta.
There you go.
That was bad, Dan Devone. I'm sorry. I got Steven, limited risotto. Fakes on everyone.
That's more of a Charlie Walter, I think you're doing.
Oh, Charlie Walter.
There you go.
Here we go.
My Reds.
What's the guy from Simpsons who used to do that? Who did that voice
Kent
all
Brockman?
The time? No. The Simpsons. It's
Duffman.
No. Who's my guy? Hey, Sam, take over. I'll figure out his name.
All right. Well, my final thought is also just putting this whole bench comeback thing to bed. Like, two reasons why I'm not really buying into it. One, was it more the bench coming back, or was it more just the Rockets easing off the throttle a little bit and letting the Warriors back into the game? I think it's more the latter. So I'm not really going to be inspired by something the Rockets kind of allowed to have happen. And number two, if there's any series where just momentum from one game to the other doesn't seem to exist, it's this one. Like, each game this series has felt like its own individual battle where what happens in one game does not translate to the next. So it'll be interesting to see how these two teams battle out in game 6. But you know what? It's like Steven said, it took a really lousy loss and turned it into a less lousy loss.
There are certain days where I'm always intrigued as to how Steiny is going to twist the knife into my chest. And today's one of those days.
Yay.
I want to see how he wallows. No one loves to sit in the hot tub of losing. Local fan base.
No, he'll pat himself on the back because Steiny literally was talking about this all day yesterday. He's saying, like, they could easily lose, like tonight, and it's not going to matter. Like,
you're worthless.
You know, he said it. He was like, yep. Dude, you don't think that Steph, Jimmy, and Draymond know they have a game in their pocket? Like, they might play like that tonight, and don't be shocked if they get blown out. He set up, he told the Warriors fans about what could happen yesterday. You know what, Steiny? You were right. By the way, the guy was Troy McClure.
Hi, I'm Troy McClure. You may remember me.
Phil Hartman was the voice.
Oh,
RIP,
he was so good.
SNL, and one of the great villains in Jingle All the Way.
Well, and Independence Day.
Phil Hartman?
Wasn't he an independent?
No, you're thinking of Bill Pullman, the president.
I get him confused. Good call. I get him confused.
That was Fast 5 brought to you by Xfinity at home.
There is a part of me that will never die.
It won't. You'll get the fastest internet to all your devices.
Good
that
call.
Part of him will never die because it's coming up next.
I always confuse those two.
Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. A new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.